The machlokas between Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi is recorded in two Mishnayos. On Daf Kufnun Hayamid Beis, there's a Stam Mishnah Ker Rebbe, and that means that he's chayef in a Sina Samayim without Gibul, whereas Rabbi Yossi holds that he's not chayef unless Achi Gab. On the other hand, there's a Mishnah on Daf Yudches Amid Beis, Yudches Amid Aleph, that's a Stam Mishnah Ker Rabbi Yossi, and he's not chayef without Gibul. And the Mishnah Berurah in the Bir Halacha has a long discussion here about how do we paskin. If we were to paskin like Rebbe, that's a tremendous chumrah, that Nesinas Hamayim itself is Meleches Lisha. What do we do in a case of two Stam Mishnayos, one contradicting the other? So generally speaking, the rule of thumb in Halacha is that Halacha Kerebi Mechaveiro. And therefore, the machlokes between Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi, we would paskin like Rebbe. But here, it's a little different because we have two stam mishnayos. One stam mishnah like Rebbe, and the other, the latest stam mishnah, is like Rabbi Yossi. So the Mishnah Berurah presents a possible thesis called halacha kibasra, and therefore we could paskin lekula like Rabbi Yossi, that he's not chayev until there's gibul. Because the later Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yossi. Anyway, the Bir Halacha is very complicated, and I'm not going to discuss that today. Obviously, that's something that we have to study.
But the Mishnah Berurah, you said the Mishnah Berurah brought this hypothesis
up? Yeah.
He passes that way?
No, he goes back and forth with many different factors. You'll take a look at the Bir Halacha. But that's not my subject for today. I just wanted to mention that when you talk about Rebbe, and that is that you're chayev for nesinas mayim without gibul, there are two ways of learning Rebbe. Yesh l'stapik. One way is to say that according to Rebbe, you can be machayev both or either for nesinas mayim or for gibul. That means that if Reuven did Nesinas Hamayim and Shimon did the Gibul, both of them would be Chayev. And if that's the case, then Rebbe is not arguing against Rabbi Yossi about Gibul. He also agrees that Gibul is Meleches Lisha. But rather, Rebbe is adding Nesinas Mayim as a Mechayev of Lisha, but not to deny Gibul, so that you could have two people, Reuven and Shimon, who are both chayev for the same end product. The other way of learning Rebbe is not like that. That Rebbe holds that Nesinas Hamayim is a melacha unto itself, and in a case where Reuven did the Nesinas Hamayim and Shimon did the Gibul, Shimon would not be chayev. And that would reflect the general principle in Hilchas Shabbos that in one chefza you can't have two melachas. Which means that if Reuven already achieved Meleches Lisha through Nesinas Mayim, it's already considered a Cheftz of Lash. I'll give you an example. Like we have a principle called Ein Bishal Achar Bishal. That means if it's already Mevushal, you can't create another Bishal. Again, I'm not going into all the details, but I'm just saying that we have within the realm of Hilchas Shabbos this principle that once there's a Melacha been done on this object, you can't do another Melacha on this object.
Even if the first one didn't accomplish the Lisha?
Well, it doesn't matter. Even if he didn't accomplish the creating of a Gibul, but he did accomplish Meleches Lisha. Why? Because Rebbe's of the opinion that Nesinas Hamayim does qualify as Lisha. So the Melech has already been done.
So like for example, Bishal, there is Bishal after Bishal.
Could be. I mean, it depends. You know, it could be if, let's say, the first Bishal was K'michel Ben Josoy, and the second Bishal took it to...
So wouldn't that be similar to that? I mean, I wouldn't classify bread as pouring water into...
It could be that that some Rishon would hold that once there was a Bishal, then you'll never be chayef for Bishal. That ain't Bishalach and Bishal in Hilchas Shabbos means...
Yeah, that's just the Rashba. Most Rishonim don't.
Right, no, I'm just saying, let's say if we go according to those Rishonim who hold that ain't Bishalach and Bishal, but you could have it in many different other melachos. And therefore, bishul might be an exception, even if there is a bishul achar bishul. But the general rule in malachas is that once the malacha was done already on this hefta, you can't do another malacha. So I don't know exactly what Rebbe is holding. We could have a similar suffix in Rav Yossi. What would be, according to Rav Yossi, if Ruvain did the Nesinas Mayim and Shimon did the Gibel? What would Rav Yossi say about that? Is it enough that Shimon did the Gibel because, according to Rav Yossi, Gibel is Meleches Lisha? Or no? According to Rav Yossi, you got to start from the beginning. You need Nesinas Mayim plus Gibel. But Gibel per se, without Nesinas Mayim, is nothing. Or the other side is to say that Nesinas Mayim is nothing in and of itself, according to Rav Yossi. The entire Malacha, from beginning to end, Chilat Sof, is the Gibel.
Just to clarify, are we, this suggestion from Rav Yossi, we're suggesting that even with the Nesinas Mayim before Shabbos,
that's... Oh, excellent. According to that side, that Rebbe puts all the Malacha into the Gibel, if, let's say, I did the Nesinas Mayim on Erev Shabbos, and then I did the Gibel on Shabbos, I'd be Chayev, or no? Is Rav Yossi saying, I need Nesinas Mayim, that itself is not enough. And now, what we're saying is that you have a Malacha that's integrated with two different Pa'ulos, and you have to do both Pa'ula Aleph and Pa'ula Beis.
Rav Yossi says that on Echad Nesin, the one gave the word and one gave the flour. And there he says, Emichai Vaitche Gadol, so it seems like all you need is only the Gibel.
All you need is only the Gibel. And yet, Diglei Tal, despite that Diuk, comes to the conclusion that Gibel enough, according to Rav Yossi, is not sufficient. He plays with the possibility that Lisha, according to Rav Yossi, is like Hotzah. You need Akira and you need Hanacha. If you did the Hanacha without the Akira, or the Akira without the Hanacha, you're not Chayev. And that since Hotzah is a case of two Pa'ulos, that if I integrate them, I'm Chayev for the Malacha, so too, according to Rav Yossi, I need two Pa'ulos, both the Sinas Amayim and Gibel. Otherwise, I'm not going to be Chayev. In any event, I'm just, just mentioning this because if we're learning Lisha, this is a very, both these fakers in Rav Yossi and Rebbe are very, very important. But what I'd like to study with you now is the Rambam. The Rambam, in Perek Ches, Mehilchas Shabbos, Halacha Tezayin, writes, Halash Kigrogeres Chayim. The Rambam establishes that the shear, the minimum amount of lisha, is kigrogeres, which means that when I put together the kemach and the mayim, and according to the Rambam, passages like Rabbi Yossi, I need gibel, the end product of that gibel has to have a minimum size of a grogeres. On the side, again, this is not my main topic for today, but I'm a little bit perplexed because you're giving me a shear in the object itself, but what's the shear in the pu'ula, in the malacha? No, it's how much gibel do I have to do? At what point do we say, I've done enough gibel that I've achieved the goal of meleches lach? I don't know, the Rambam doesn't talk about that. I wish he would have addressed that question. But in any event, in terms of the solid substance that I end up with as a result of the end product of Lisha, I certainly need a volume of a grogeres. Then the Rambam tells us that that's not necessarily so. That you might be chayev in meleches lash for less than a shear of a grogeres. Hamagabal es ha'ofar, Hareza told us lash. V'kama shi'uro, kidei lasos pikur shel tzorfei zav. Now again, if we had time, I would have a long discussion with you about what the pikur of tzarfei zav is. But basically, to make life a little bit short for us, abridged, if you have this kind of a clear vessel in which you remove by heat the impurities of gold, what you need is an opening, and you put the bellows inside the opening, and you press in hot air, and the hot air causes the process of refinement. And the Rambam says that all you need in order to create gibel when you add ofar and mayim is you need the shear of kidei pikur. And kidei pikur is smaller than a grogeres. And now, we have a Magid Mishnah with a Kesef Mishnah trying to find a source for the Rambam. Where did the Rambam derive this conclusion from? And the Lecha Mishnah, I'm sorry, the Mishnah Lemelech, is of the opinion that he got it from a sugya on Daf Pei, which addresses the issue of Hotzah. And the question is, how much of a volume do I need to carry in order to generate a chiyuv of Meleches Hotzah? And the Gemara says that all I need is tit, the, let's say, the clay or the concrete that has the size to form a covering over that hole of a pikur. So that means that in Meleches Hotzah, you're only chayav for Melecha Chashuva, and you have to carry something and transport something that's chashuv. Well, if I transport it tit, and it has the chashivus of lechasos pikur, the Gemara says that that's considered a chiyuv hotzah. Says the Magid Mishnah, the Rambam jumped to the following analogy, and he said, if in Meleches Hotzah there's a chashivus of a size of tit that's enough to cover a pikur, even though it's smaller than a grogeres, then hu adin, in the case of Meleches Lash, if what I have is enough to cover a pikur, then that's considered chashivus. And therefore I should be chayav from Meleches Lash, even though lechasos pikur is less than the shear of a gogeres. So basically, according to the Magid Mishnah, the structure of the Rambam is that the Rambam pasach be'av, v'siyem betolva. The av requires no less than what? A grogeres. So the melacha of lash requires a shear of a grogeres. However, when we get to the tolda, so the av is gedulei karka, the tolda is not gedulei karka, you're not dealing with any sort of substance that you eat, and therefore the shear for a tolda changes. And where did the Rambam get this from? Because the Gemara says that yuchai from Meleches Hotzah on a tit that is pikur, lechasas pikur, and that's chashuv. Because for the refiners of gold, that's what they need. And therefore the same thing would apply to Lash. Says the Kesef Mishnah, the name of the Ramach, it's very nice that the Lecha Mishnah looked in the sugya on Daf Pei, but we should look in the sugya on Daf Ayin Ches. And if we look in the sugya on Daf Ayin Ches, we have not done justice to the Rambam and found his source. What does the Gemara say on Daf Ayin Ches? So we're talking about Meleches Hotzah, and we're talking about transporting liquids. In the case of Mashkin, the shear for Hotzah is Kidei Revius, Revius of Mashkin. So the Gemara asks the following question. We have something called Mei Shofchin, which is wastewater. And the Gemara wants to know, are you chayav for transporting wastewater? And the Gemara initially thinks there's no reason you should be chayav for wastewater, because wastewater has no chashivas. It goes right into the, as we would call it, the pach. So then why are you chayav for transporting mei shofchin? So the Gemara says, no, I'll tell you why you're chayav for mei shofchin. Because if you mix mei shofchin with tint, you can create an opening that would serve on a pikur. Why would they use mei shofchin? Mei shofchin is worthless. It has no value. You throw it in the rubbish. But on the other hand, what are you going to use to create this clay of lechasos pikur? You're going to take regular water. Well, regular water is worth something. Maybe not to us so much, but back in the day. So why waste your money by using good water, healthy water? Use mei shofchin. So the Gemara says, therefore, you should be chayav for Hotzos Mei Shofchin. So the Gemara then asks the question, well, what do you mean you're chayav for Mei Shofchin? At what shear are you chayav for Mei Shofchin? How much Mei Shofchin are you carrying? Are you transporting? So the Gemara says, enough to create a kisui for a pikur. So the Gemara says, if that be the case, why do you need a revius? We have a rule, and the Gemara establishes that all the Tanoim accept this rule, and that is that you chayav for hotzos mashkin if it's a kirevius. But according to you, that is a chashivus in what? In mei shofchim, because it could serve as a substitute for mayim. When you mix it together with tit and you create a kisui for pi kur, then you should be chayif even less than a gogeris. So the Gemara says it all depends. And that is, what exactly are you carrying? Are you carrying mei shofchim in order to mix it with clay to create a pikur? Or are you carrying a pikur's worth of tit? If you have a pikur's worth of tit, it's a very small amount. It's normally not the shear from Melechas Hotzo, but here it has chashivus. Why does it have chashivus? Because even though it's a small amount of tit, I can use it, it functions to cover a pikur. But on the other hand, if you're carrying mei shofchim, you're not going to carry mei shofchim in order to mix it with tit and create a pikur. That's not worth your effort. Ein onim toreach. It's not worth your tircha. In other words, to create this kind of a mixture between clay and water is a tircha. We call it in Yiddish a pachka. So it's not worth a pachka. If you're going to mix it together and do a gibel, and you're going to end up with a volume that you can use multi-tasks and multi-different functions, then that's called kedei revias. Then you end up with a mixture that has the size of a revias. You'll use a small amount of it to cover your pikur, and the rest of it you'll use for other functions. You know, clay is multifunctional. But on the other hand, if you're creating just a pikur and you're carrying mei shofchim, it's just not worth the tircha. And that's the maskanas ha-Gemara. Says the Ramah, I don't understand the Rambam. The Rambam says that for the tolda of megabel es ha-ofar, you're chayiv for the shear of kedei lasos pikur. Lasos pikur. Emphasize the word lasos. He's creating a pikur. We're not talking about a case where he already has a mixture, a gibel, and now he wants to use it. That's true for Melechas Hotzah. In Melechas Hotzah, you can talk about the chashivas of an object if it has a purpose. And you're transporting it in order to achieve that purpose. So you have now enough tit after gibel that you can now transport it in order to use it for the tzarfei zav. But in a case where you're creating this mixture, you're doing a gibel of afar, in order to what? You're doing it for the sake of creating a pikur. That's not worth your effort. The Gemara says, "Ein onim toreach l'kach." So how can the Rambam possibly derive his conclusion that you chay from meleches lisha in megabel es ha'afar, which is told of lash, simply if you mix together enough of afar and mayim to create a gibel that's functional for lechasos pikur? The Gemara says nobody would do such a thing. It's not worth your effort. So it doesn't have chashivas. And if that be the case, how could the Rambam say that you're chayif for lash? You're doing something from beginning to end, right? Mitchilos avad sofa. What are you doing? You don't have a mixture yet. You're creating that mixture. Well, in Hotzah, if you were involved in creating the mixture, you would not be chayif for a Hotzah of mayim shofchim just to create a pikur. It's not worth your effort. It doesn't have chashivus. So the Ramach is arguing against the Rambam that the Magid Mishnah was bringing this as a source to the Rambam. Pum fakert, as we say in Mamaloshin. The source that the Magid Mishnah is bringing is a kasha on the Rambam, because it proves the exact opposite conclusion. It's not worth it for you to do this entire pashka of gibel just simply lechasos pikur. Maybe there is such a person on the face of the earth, but that's not certainly the way people do it. So if you try to create a shear, and the shear is meant to be what? A chashivus. What kind of chashivus do you have if you're creating it from the beginning when they don't toreach l'kach? If the Rambam would have discussed melechas hotzah, he would have a good argument to justify a shear of lechasos pikur. In what case? Where he has the tit, And now he wants to transport it from one place to the other in order to attach it to his refinery. But that's not what the Rambam is talking about. The Rambam wants to get a gibel, which constitutes a violation of Lechas Lash. It has that Hashivas to it. And he's telling me, I don't need a Grogeres. What do you mean you don't need a Grogeres? Why don't you need a Grogeres? Is it worth it for your effort to simply create out of this leash a legabalis offer enough to cover a pikur? Who would do such a thing?
Is it possible that the Rambam means, according to the Magi Mishnah, that you see the Rambam that you could have different shiur for different types of hashiva, hashiva lofas,
right,
and therefore by wash, maybe a person would be toreya for less than they would be toreya
I thought of it, but you know,
the truth is,
David, that when you're talking about giving a chashivus, which is less than a shir, that's really unique to Melechas Hotzah. Why? In Melechas Hotzah, the Gemara always sets up an object that you're transporting and asking, is there chashivus to that object? Does it function in any way that is worth it for anybody to transport it? That lechora has nothing to do with creating a gibul so that you end up with an object and that object has chashivas to it. Lo mi boy that the Magid Mishnah has not even created a makor, a source for the Rambam, but worse than that, if you learn the Gemara, the sugya on Daf Ayin Ches, which apparently, don't take me literally, the Magid Mishnah skipped that Gemara, but says the Ramach, that Gemara gives us the opposite conclusion. You want to do a Lisha and end up with something chashiv. Well, what do you end up with? If you do a Gibul and you end up with a Grogeres worth, and by the way, Rabbi said, where does Grogeres come from? Anybody? Correct, Sidura de Pas. All of Sidura de Pas, with one exception that we'll study now, is all requires a shear of Grogeres. And that's how the Rambam opens up his discussion about Lisha. But then he says that in the Tolda of Lisha, he's got a new shear, which is less than a Grogeres. But what are you ending up with? You're ending up, after all your efforts and all your tircha, with Kidei Lechasos Pikur? The Gemara says it's not worth the tircha to end up with that.
But can you say that the entire process from start to finish would not be worth it for Pikur, but if it's just the evil, maybe it would be worth it for Pikur. Maybe not like Beit Mittal, it would be just the evil that...
You mean if you assume that you don't need both pu'ulos, like the final maskana of the, against the final maskana of the Iglital, who says you need both Nesinus Mayim and Gibul.
Yeah.
And you're saying all you need is Gibul.
Right.
Okay, all you need is Gibul, but, so Gibul is not a Pashka, you mean?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Oh, I see. That's not a bad shot. I don't know. I'll think about that. I like that. But also, I want to go on to the next point. Because this is really the bulk of what I prepared for today. And I learned this sugya many years ago, but I'm telling you, every time I look at the sugya, it's like starting from scratch. That's just the way my mind works. The Rambam opened up this discussion about Lash with number one, and went on to number two, and now we want to go on to number three. Number one is that the shear of Lash is Kigrogeres. Let's call it the Av Malacha, the Gedulei Karka. Then he went on to a tolda of Megabel as an offer, and there the shear was Kedei Lechasos Pikur. Now let's go to number three. The Rabbi writes that Hanosein Zera Shumshamin O Zera Pishtan V'chayotze Bahen B'mayim Chayav Mishum Lash. Now again, if I didn't know anything, this would be very strange to me. You know, you take flax seeds and you soak them in water, and you chayav mishum lash. That doesn't sit well with me. But the Rambam gives an explanation, which is based on a sugya. We'll soon see where that sugya is. Mipnei sheim misarvim, v'nitlim zevozeh. That somehow, by process of soaking these seeds, what he creates is a dibuk, misarvim zevozeh. And now the seeds stick to each other. We'll see exactly how that works in just a second. And the Rambam says that that's called Meleches Lash. Now, I'm not sure if the Rambam at this point is going back to the Reisha, meaning it's a little bit Shalokas say there, but maybe the Rambam is now going back to the Av, because after all, he's talking about edibles now, so it's Gidulei Karka, it might be the Av of Lash, or this is a Told of Lash. Okay, we'll leave that out for the time being. But the main point that we want to make is that the Magid Mishnah asks the question, where did the Rambam get this from? You're soaking seeds in water, and you're chayav from Aleches Lash. I mean, that's like pretty wild. And the Magid Mishnah finds a sugya. I mean, this is like a Musa Shmuz, you know, how much you have to know in order to know anything, you know. He finds a sugya tucked away in Perek Dam Chatos in Zvachim. What goes on in Perek Dam Chatos? The Gemara goes on a tangent there. The official subject of the sugya is if some of the Dam of Kodshim gets sprinkled on Big Day Kuhuna and how you would clean the Big Day Kuhuna. And that's called kibus. So you soak the begadim in water in order to extract the dam. Then the Gemara goes on, quoting a sugya of Rava, to discuss meleches kibus on Shabbos. So you have a stain on a cloth and you soak it in water, and that's called kibus, which is a toldah of meleches melabin of lima. Fine. Now, after having said that, the Gemara goes on to talk about another malacha, and that is the malacha of soaking barley, or, well, actually, the case of Rava is flax seeds in water. And the Gemara says the following. Does anybody, by the way, have a Gemara Zvachim here in front? Oh, thank you so much. Because I don't always have the ability to gather together all the Sfarim and the Koro. Not that there are so many together, but the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Zorak Pishta L'mayim Chayev. He's soaking flax seeds in water and he's Chayev. Gemara says, I don't get it. If Rabbi was talking about a cloth and it got stained and then you soak in water, Nicha. Okay, that's what you call Meleches Kibus, a Toldah of it. But if you're not talking about a Sudar, you're talking about flax seeds. What is he cleaning his flax seeds? He's Chayev from Meleches Kibus? Ridiculous. So the Gemara says, Ella, my taima, mishum de mekadeach. So Rashi explains that mekadeach means that the flax seeds actually sprout in water. And therefore, he's going to be chayev, says Rashi, from Meleches Zoreah. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. You're telling me that he's chayev from Meleches Zoreah? Ihochi chite yusiori nami? Why do you tell me that only flax seeds will sprout if you soak them in water? What about chite nusaori? So the Gemara says that there's something unique about flax seeds. And that's why he says Yechai for flax seeds. Hanaf de Islay Riri. What's Riri? Riri is some sort of a mucus that's inside the flax seeds. And when you soak the flax seeds, this mucus comes out. Rashi says that it's Misdabge Adodi. As a result of soaking the flax seeds, when the mucus exudes, if I can use that word, it causes a kind of a dibuk. And Rashi says, the Gemara asks, Ihochi shlochim nami. He says that when you talk about oros, they also have this mucus, and therefore if you soak them in water, the riri should generate a chiyuv of dibuk. And the Gemara answers, no. Hasam ka'avid lisha. And Rashi says, Gabi zera pishtok kibitak bekes berira, if as a result of this rear, you create this dibuk, when you soak the zera pishton, is havile told the delash. It becomes a told of lash. Abo bishlochim, but when you have the oros or the animals, even though there is some element of dibuk, but it's not enough. Lo shabet, lo shayach, di buka, di day, li'inyan lisha. So you have to figure out exactly what Rashi means, why in shlokot. But says the Magid Mishnah, we see here clearly that in the case of soaking flax seeds in water, because of this process of removing the mucus, you get a dibuk, and the various seeds now connect to each other, creating a new dover gush, and as a result, you chayav mishum lisha. Fantastic source for the Rambam to something that when you read it at face value, you don't know what it means. But now we go back to the Rambam, and the Rambam is very clear. He says, chayav mishum lash v'deshe misarvim v'nitlim zevazeh. So this is the process of creating a dibuk for which you chayav mishum moleches lash.
Where did
Shum Shumin
come from?
What did he say?
Shum Shumin. Is that Shum Shumin also, right?
Yeah, I guess Shum Shumin also has rear, I guess. I don't know. We have to study on Shum Shumin. Okay. Now, I want to present to you two lines in the Or Sameach, where they are Simcha Midvins. And I think, in my humble opinion, Mokom Yimichu Avoseinu is gathered. He says the following. What is the shear in the case of soaking zera pishtim? Is it a grogeres? Or is it less than a grogeres? He says, Omna li el, ba'alocha beis, Bishore chitin usiorim, shehu shir zorea, chayv bekolshu. Vilomenu chayv bezera pishton, mishum zorea, viz chayv bekolshu. Ad kan loshon ha'or samen. Let's just now try to summarize his kasha. The Or Sameach asks the following question. We turn back to Perches Halacha Beis, the Rambam about Melecha Zoreh. And the Rambam writes, HaZoreh Kolshu Chayv, it's the only Melecha of Sidur Depas, where you chayv for Kolshu. One single seed has Chashivus. We know what a seed could grow. And then the Rambam writes, that there are Toldos of Zoreh, and you chayv in Kolshu, V'chein, Hashorech chitin usiorin v'chayotzibayin v'mayim hareze told the zorea v'chayav v'kolshu. In other words, if you have a kernel of wheat or barley and you soak it in water, it will sprout. And if it will sprout, you're chayav for zorea. In fact, the Gemara in the Havamina there in Zvachim presented the possibility that soaking flax seeds would also engender a malacha violation of Zoreah, but the Gemara had a problem. Why did Rava focus exclusively on Zera Pishtan and not mention Chitin Asiorin? Basically, the Gemara rejects Zoreah only for technical reasons. It doesn't fit into the language of Rava. But the Gemara never argued logically against the Havamina that if you soak flax seeds in water, they sprout, and therefore you should be chayav from Melechus Zoreah. The Gemara had a technical problem. Comes along the Or Sameach, and he asks the following question. I don't get it. The Rambam is saying that Hanosein Zera Shumshmin, O Zera Pishnon V'chayotzim V'mayim, chayav Mishum Losh. How did the Or Sameach learn those words in the Rambam, Chayav Mishum Losh? At what shear? Anybody? What was bothering the mind of Meir Simcha? We're trying to enter into his mind. What?
It's more than one.
Well, wait a second, you're a step ahead of me. But I'm just asking, when you touch up the Rambam, how did he read the words of the Rambam? What did he say? Grogeres. Meaning that the Or Sameach has what I call, you know, one of the Gimel Averis Chamuris, one of the Yesodei HaTorah, you know, the Gimel Midas HaTorah of Yesodei HaTorah, that in this case, you'd be chayav for Grogeres and not less than a Grogeres. Why? Because Grogeres is chayav I'm sorry, because Lash is Chayav B'Grogeres. Well, we know there's an exception to the rule Zoreya. And Zoreya is Chayav for a Kolshu. So the Ar Sameach, without even spelling it out, I'm just, you know, kind of, trying to, as a detective, to figure out what underlying premises he's operating with. When he asked the question, he should be Chayav for a Kolshu, apparently understood that you're Chayav for a Grogeres, because we're talking about Meleches Lash. Now I understand the Ar Sameach's Kasha. Frank, the Ar Sameach, why should it be Chayav only for a Grogeres? He should be Chayav for a Kolshu. Because the Rambam already in Perek Ches Halacha Beis established that if you soak Chitim and Tziorim in water, you're Chayav because they sprout, and you're Chayav for Meleches Zoreya, which means the Rambam says explicitly, black and white, that you're Chayav for a Kolshu. So in other words, the Ar Sameach doesn't understand by classifying, when the Rambam classifies Nosein Zerapishtam B'mayim as Lash, he is telling us, the Rambam, so says the Ar Sameach, that you chay for a Gogeres and not less than a Gogeres. So the Ar Sameach says, I don't understand. You yourself told me, Rabbeinu Moshe Ben Rav, that you chay in the case of Nosein, what was the language here? Hashorech chitin usiorin b'mayim yechayev from Meleches Zoreya with a kolshu. Why shouldn't that apply to Zerapishtan? Why does the Rambam take Zerapishtan out of Halacha Beis, which is Meleches Zoreya with yechayev for a kolshu, and classify it in Halacha Tezayin under Meleches Lash, which means he's not chayev for less than a Grogeres? Okay, wait a minute. Okay, so I'll let you say the shiur if you want. You remind me of a story. You know, my father used to tell me that in Rav Moshe Soloveitchik's shiur, there was a very brilliant fellow, maybe you heard of him, called Chaim Zimmerman. How many people ever heard of Chaim Zimmerman? All right. So my father says on a few occasions when Rav Moshe would say the shiur, Rabbi Zimmerman, then he was known as Chaim, would get up and give an answer to Rav Moshe's kasha. And Rav Moshe twice, my father said, my father was in the shiur for 5 years. He said twice he remembers Rav Moshe closed the Gemara, and he walked out. He says, you know, as gerecht, and that's it. Okay, but let me finish the shiur because I don't get to meet with you too often. Anyway, here's what I want to suggest. First of all, how does Rav Meir Simcha know? And again, you should know I'm a tremendous fan of Rav Meir Simcha. I give a shiur on his insights into Chumash once a week. How does he know that the Rambam holds that you're not chayav mishum zoreya, and that you're not chayav for a kolshu? Apparently, the Ar Sameach understood the structure of Halacha Tezayin in the following way. The Rambam begins with Gedulei Karka, the Av Malacha of Lash, and he says you're not chayav for less than a Grogeres. Then the Rambam goes into the Tolda, which is the case of Gibel Ofer, and the Rambam says, in that case, you're chayav for Pikur, Lechasas Pikur, which is less than a Grogeres. Now we get to the third part of the Rambam. And apparently, the Ar Sameach understood that part three in the Rambam goes back to part one. Meaning that now that in the case of Zerapishtan, we're talking about Gedulei Karka, we're talking about the Av Malacha. And if we're talking about the Av Malacha, then the shiur's got to be a Grogeres. And in Rav Meir Simcha's frame of reference, there's no way that you can talk about Lisha with a shiur of less than a Grogeres. It just can't be. And if the Rambam classified it as a Malacha of Lash, it means, by definition, it's got to be a Grogeres and nothing left. So therefore, Rav Meir Simcha has a valid question. What do you mean? I object. Why should it be Chayav for Shum for Zoreya? What's the difference between Zerapishtan and Zerah Chitin and Zerah Siyar, which the Rambam himself is committed to Meleches Zoreya when you soak it in water, you chayav for a kolshu. Now, Lefiyani is daiti, when the Rambam gets to the end of Halacha Tezayin, which is the case of Nesinas Zerah Pishtan B'mayin, the Rambam doesn't say that he's chayav mishum lash if it's a Grogeres worth. Doesn't say that in the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't mention the word Grogeres. So you'll tell me, but what do you mean? He didn't mention, he doesn't have to mention Grogeres, because Lash is only chayv for what? For Grogeres. That's a given. But the answer is that's not a given. Why isn't it a given? Rabbi, so you following me? Help me out here. What? Why is that not a given? Because the Rambam has just told me that Megadol Esa Offer is Chayav for Lechasos Pikur. So the Rambam already has told me that there's no Gzeiros HaKosev, absolute Chok for Loyav, that you're not Chayav for Meleches Lisha unless you have a Grogeres. The Rambam himself recognizes. So why do I know, how do I know that in the third Halacha here in Tezayin, he's going back to the first Halacha, to the Reisha, again, it's Gedule Karka, and he means that you're not chai for less than a Grogeres. Maybe the fact that the Rambam wedged in the middle here, a case where you don't need a Grogeres to be chai for Lash, the third case also doesn't need it. But Rabbeinu Simcha still has an excellent point. And that is that the Rambam did not mention in the case of Mayim in Pishton, in Zer Pishton, that he's chai for Meleches Oreya. And here's where Rav Meir Simcha has a whole fantastical Ayin Shom, if you're interested. He has a new principle. He says that in soaking Zera Pishton, that's an Av Meloch of Lash, whereas the sprouting is only a Tolda of Meleches Oreya. So if you have a case where it could fall under one Av Meloch, and one Tolda of a different Av Meloch, then the Av Malacha wins out. Do you hear this, Rav Osai? And it's a fantastical structure here that he creates because he's so bothered by this question. So you have an Av Malacha of Lash, a Tolda of Zoreya. You're not going to be chayav for the Tolda of Zoreya. You're going to be chayav for the Av of Lash. The truth is, we do have such a thing. But only in the case where you violated an Av and its Tolda. Then we could say you're not chayav for the Tolda. There's a Rashi at the beginning of Bava Kamma. And you're only chayav for the Av. But when you have an overlap of two different oros, to say that therefore he's only going to be chayav for the Av and not for the Tolda of a different Malacha, from Vanen Weisman, how do you know such a thing? But again, that's the Or Samech. I just wanted to show you how far he goes. So therefore, I wanted to suggest the following with the Yistaiti, and that's what I think Aaron was saying before. Rav Meir Simcha understood that there's no chiv of Zoreah in this case of no saying Zera Shumshamin or Zera Pishdan B'mayim. No Chiv Zoreah for a culture. We're going to suggest that that's not true. Again, B'mechilas Kvod, I mean, who am I to, you know, to argue with, against it? Rav Meir Simcha. But I'm going to base my case on two words in the Rambam. The Rambam says in Perek Ches Halakha Beis, V'chein HaShore Chitim Usiorim v'chayotze b'hem b'mayim. He adds two words, chayotze b'hem. And he's telling us that this halach of Zorea, in the case of Zera that sprouts in water, is not limited to chitin and siorim. There are many other possibilities, one of which is Zera Pishtam. And you would be chayv mishum Zorea.
But that's not kinzayim.
Just 1 second, what?
But does it marking sign? This is only possible. Like,
no, wait. What I just presented now is the diuk in the Rambam. But now I want you to hear the lumbus. And that's the punchline of the shiur. What I want to suggest is that the Rambam in Halacha Tezayin is talking about an additional chiv to Meleches Oreya. And what he's telling you, it all depends on what you're soaking in water. If you're soaking in water one single zera of Pishton, then you can be chai for what? For Meleches Oreya, and Zoreya is chai in a kolshu. However, when it comes to dibuk, which means lash, because of the rear, then you need a certain amount. Again, what is that amount? That is, amount will be the amount that you'll end up with what? With a grogeres. And now you're chayav for Meleches Lash. It doesn't matter that with one seed you're chayav for Meleches Oreya. That's true. And at that point, if you got the Asra, you know, if you hold, you need Asra, the Tolda of Shema'av. So you got Asra for Melechetz Oreya, and he's chayev for Melechetz Oreya. But what happens, asks the Rambam, if he takes a whole cluster of Zera Pishton, such that now the rear could create a Dibuk, and at the end of the day, he takes through the act of this Gibul, he creates a Dover Butzak, meaning a solid, and that solid has the size of a Grogeris, because now he has multiple seeds, and he's chayev for Shemuel Echeslash. Not the way the Or Samech understood that he wouldn't be chayev for Zoreh. The Rambam doesn't have to address the case of Zoreh. He's already told us. He gave us two examples, but he said chayotzeveh. Go check it out, says the Rambam, and find any kind of zera. Then when you soak it in water, it sprouts. And if it sprouts, you chayev for Melechetz Oreya. How much of a zera did you put in? A kol shehu, and that's the miyuchadus of Melechetz Oreya. Now, says the Rambam, you should know that in Zera Pishton, in addition to Meleches Zoreya, you might be chayev for another Melacha. Namely what? Meleches Lash. But again, here, I'm going to accept the Or Samech's premise that you're only chayev for Lash with a shear of Grogeres. And therefore, you would need to do a Dibuk of Zera Pishton such that what you end up with of a solid substance is a grogeris worth, and therefore you chayev mishum meleches lash. So whereas the Or Samech understood that the Rambam, by classifying nesinas mayim in Pishton on the lash, is excluding zorea, we're suggesting an alternative interpretation. All right then? Take this opportunity, wish everyone a good convention. I know a few of us are leaving tomorrow. So we might not see you, I don't know.
Thank you.